This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
And then maybe you just say hi to him if you can, if possible.
It's impossible. It's impossible to say hi. Hi, Tom. Wish you were here. You have a good friend, Sarah, who's bought you this limited edition, one of only a couple left here in Winnipeg, and Manitoba.
Also, he does have a podcast. He talks about you all the time. He talks very highly of you on there.
That's good.
So I just wanted to join me and give you one of those.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
All right, what up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom, and I've got my very good friend, the Okerlund-nominated podcast co-host, Derry, New Hampshire's very own, Will Mercier. Will, as always, my friend, how are you tonight?
I'm thriving, surviving, survived the holiday weekend, you know, to my other retail employees. We did it.
Yeah, that's
kickoff to the summer, and it's all downhill from here, because then you got school graduations, and you got 4th of July.
Well, I mean, it's always a good thing that you get that boost in pay for all that hard work, though, right?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. Of course.
With work in retail, do your summers fly by?
Tom, everything flies by. Life is a blur.
Okay. I mean, obviously, I used to work seasonally, and summer was our busy season. So, I mean, for like 10 years, the summer flew. Now it's just like worth it with the, you know, added jobs. Now working at 3 jobs, it's like, that's why I face, like, we're planning something, because before we know, the fucking summer's going to be over. And then we got our big trip right there in October, you know. So we'll be in Florida or New Orleans for your birthday this year, Will, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're heading to we've got a big hole in our map. And it's basically southeast of the United States. We're going to go bust out Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas. And Louisiana.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's actually one part of the country I've been to, but I have not been through much. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm trying to see if we can get to Savannah, Georgia, too. But, you know, but we are taking a week off to go up north in northern Wisconsin. For those that are not in the Wisconsin area, it's a very beautiful and remote area. But the Republican National Convention is going to be here in July. And, I mean, that's downtown. Downtown's probably 6-7 miles from us. But I don't want any part of that shit show. I mean, I'm good. I'm sure a lot of our brethren will be out there protesting, and I'm all for a good protest, but I don't want any part of that shit show. It's going to be interesting this year. I'll tell you that much.
So, speaking of shit shows, we ready to talk about some Ring of Honor tonight?
We are ready to talk about some Ring of Honor. Some shit shows, some very interesting fortuitous timing on our part, for sure. Like I said, make sure you're tuning in. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, this is the 127th episode of Ring of Honor Revelry. Will, you've been on at least 124, if not 125. I think you've only missed 2 besides that first one, right?
2 or 3, yeah.
So, we're on a pretty good clip, you know, unless we are coming up on 2.5 years. So shout out to us, but that is nothing. We do have I do want to shout out real quick. We do have a couple of broadcast brethren as the Shining Wizards, obviously on this network. You know, we're on the Shining Wizards network. Our fucking flying at episode 700, Will. I know You've been there a lot longer than I have. You know, I didn't start. Actually, I'll be on my 5-year Shining Wizards Network anniversary next week or next month. But 700 episodes, and not—I mean, not missing a week.
They've never missed a week. I did the math out once, and it took a lot of work to figure out like what the first episode I would have listened to would have been about. Because even then, it's like it's an about. Because when I first started listening, I wasn't like a devoted listener. I'll be honest, I wasn't initially hooked, but I got there.
Yeah, obviously. You know, was it the guest? What like was it a particular guest? Do you remember?
No. So I had to look. Because I found out about them because I found out about Neckbreaker.
That's right. So,
thing is Neckbreaker is like kaputs. There's not like an episode listing. So I had to find a picture of the Neckbreaker farewell t-shirt that had a list of all the guests on the bat. Then I had to figure out, because I had dates, so I had to figure out like when. Say, all right, so this is the first episode of this show that I listened to. I would have heard about the Shining Wizards Network, and then I would have checked out something around here.
Yeah, mine coincidentally actually coincided with, because Faith and I both started our current jobs like the same week. And it was also my first episode of the Shining Wizards. And like I've told this story before, but, you know, obviously I had befriended Phil through another podcast. Shout out to the Broad Street Breakdown. With Vinny Paz and all of his friends. That's a very, made a lot of good friends through that podcast, very similar to the Shining Wizards. But I met Phil through there. I started listening to his podcast. He's always talking about the Wizards, and I finally broke down because they were interviewing somebody. Unfortunately, that episode has now been scrubbed. Yeah, that was the middle of June 2019. So, yeah, they were episode 400 something at that point. It's like 450, 440. And then, yeah, speaking of milestones, it's good. He's back to almost coming back weekly. But speaking of Phil, Turnbuckle Throwbacks says we'll be celebrating their 500th episode right around their anniversary in July. So shout out to Phil. I know he's kind of doing it solo. I know he's got some help on the back end and everything. But obviously, it's, you know, Phil, we owe Phil a lot on this show.
So is this a good time to start bringing back my fake feud where I said we were the best retrospective podcast on the network?
Well, that's right. I forgot about that. I mean,
I can't do it. Phil, when the last time Phil was on the Wizards, he put me over. So I can't. I'm gonna, but I can't.
Fair enough. That's right. I forgot. It's a.
It's a very Bullet Club move, right? To be like, no, we're cool, and then just like, bam, gotcha.
Yeah. And like I said, yeah. And speaking of, you know, Bullet Club and Shining Wizards, they're going back in the archives, but they are doing it, releasing it their old AJ Styles interview from 2014. So it'll be interesting. You know, that's right in our wheelhouse. But I will definitely say we are the best Ring of Honor retrospective podcast on this network.
No doubt. I would say there's no competition.
Because you'd be 1,000% right on that. I mean, all bullshit aside, I mean, this is not throwing shade, but there aren't a lot of Ring of Honor dedicated retro podcasts in general. At least not the format we're doing, so at least we got that niche. You know, we do a friend of the show, you know, Kyle from the Apron Bump, who started from day one with Ring of Honor. And like I said, I've said this before, and if you're listening to this and you're not listening to the Apron Bump, you should probably, it's a different format, but Kyle does a great job. A lot of fun.
And he's incredibly handsome.
He is very handsome. I don't know if he's more handsome than Handsome Kevin.
Ooh, you know, remember there was that thing, because it's HK and HK, right?
I know, it's tough, because I've actually slept in Handsome Kevin's house.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I have not talked to the other HK in the real life yet. So, yeah, but Kyle does a great job with it, and I am call it up. But yeah, he started from Ring of Honor right now. But yeah, he does Ring of Honor. He does TNA. He did start teenage from the beginning, but the progress, that's a lot. That's the other one I listen to. So I'm a big progress mark. So, but then he's doing 1996 with who's having the better year, ECW, WWE, or WCW. And this week's episode was the 1996 Survivor Series. So they're almost wrapping that up. So, but Will, as we are done here putting over a bunch of other podcasts, how are you, my friend? Listen, if you want the juicy comic book talk that we had in pre-production, make sure you do sign up for our non-existent Patreon.
Oh, juicy talk. Well, nothing too juicy. I spent probably more than I should have on some back issues on eBay because I had – it's one of those things where it's like I only needed a couple more to like finish out like a series. So it's like, ooh, I'll get them. I can get them all from the same – and then they got me, right? Because then it's like, oh – a discount was applied because you've grabbed enough stuff. It's like, you want to keep looking at the seller? It's like, ooh, I think I will.
That's and, what you will.
I also got for cheap a John Constantine Hellblazer trade paperback. The volume is called Dangerous Habits, and it's the source material for the interesting movie that came out in 2005, starring Keanu Reeves as Constantine.
Nice, okay.
Which I watched when it first came out and really had no, I don't know, I felt nothing about it. And then I rewatched it recently. I'm like, you know what? I've got some gripes now that I know more about the character. But it wasn't bad. Because it also would have been most people's introduction to that character. Okay. I didn't know it was a when I saw it, I didn't know it was a comic book movie.
That's cool. I didn't know that either.
Yeah, the early stuff is really neat. I like the early stuff. Like, there's an art style to it that I really like that early Swamp Thing, stuff like that. But then, Garth Ennis, guy who wrote Preacher. Did a run. So this is the book I got is one of his. And then I just posted on my personal accounts that I read one called The Red Sepulcher, which I believe it said is the guy who wrote the show Lucifer.
Okay.
And that was pretty good. You know, and that rustled all the jimmies I want from the character.
Nice.
I mean, one of the biggest things is they write him, like, they write the dialect in, because Constantine's supposed to be, you know, English or whatever. And Keanu Reeves, just being Keanu Reeves, just didn't really, didn't capture that for me.
So are you not a Keanu Reeves fan? That's what you're telling me.
I like Keanu Reeves in a lot, but I think there are some roles where they're not necessarily winners.
Okay.
I'm curious because they've rumbled about doing another Constantine movie and he really wants to do it again. So it's like, I'm willing to give him another go as it. I just think there might be other people who would be better for it.
Yeah, it seems like a good human being too, which always helps. So,
you know, he's got his own comic book, read a Berserker by Keanu, or it's co-written by Keanu Reeves.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, and
by Bill Boom Ted, Studios.
Yeah, Bill and Ted's the third movie.
Speed, can't go wrong with Speed.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first two Bill and Ted's are really good. I actually rewatched both those recently. I mean, it's got George Carlin in it, so how can it not be good?
I've never seen those.
They're good. It's shut your brain off humor. It's definitely something you can watch in the background. It's not too groundbreaking, you know, but that was, I mean, he was typecast pretty heavy in that, you know, it was a big thing. You know,
I will say, I loved him in The Matrix, obviously.
You saw the fourth one, right? I think we talked about that.
The fourth one, no. So, like, the last one, like, the new one that came out a couple years ago, I did not see that yet.
I enjoyed it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. People hated it.
I've heard mixed things about it. Like, the first one, I only need the first one. Like, the first one was, like, so good.
Yeah, and you could have combined two and three and cut like a bunch of shit out.
Yeah.
And, you know, because, I mean, the problem they ran into is because the first one, it was just so fucking groundbreaking. It's like with all the shit, they just like, oh my, it just blew your fucking mind. But by, you know, 4 years later, by the time the second and third one came out, so everyone was.
Well, then, right, they put out, they made too much stuff you have to explain. There's too much stuff you've got to fill in. Whereas the first one's just like, guys, robots took over. And you're like, got it. Robots took over. And then it's like, oh, we're going to explain, like, how the Matrix. It's like, I don't really need that. Like,
yeah.
But, I watched Dracula, the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula, relatively recently. He was terrible in that. I was underwhelmed by that movie. But that could be another talk for another day.
I do have the original Bram Stoker's Dracula in my to-be-read file.
I want to read it, too. I think I have. I got a copy from like a Goodwill floating around somewhere.
Yeah, we got a copy at Faith's favorite bookstore down in Knoxville, Tennessee. Because, I mean, why would you drive 700 miles to go to a bookstore? Because, I mean, you do whatever the fuck you want, so.
Do whatever you want.
Probably roll, Will, but... Yeah, I mean, a lot of good things. Like I said, we were talking that Deviant number 5. I really enjoyed the cover. I'm going to wait till the entire series. You know, we're going to talk some more James Tynan. Listen, and well, and speaking of former guests, too, listen, I did track down none of our friends like comics. None of my friends like comics. I'm going to track down the Watchmen series. So, but, Will, I did finish Working Stiff. I think I finished it last week. But and I did finish my cousin's 9/11 book. Very heavy, obviously. You know, that's, you know, that book came out in 2002. I mean, it was only, you know, less than 10 months after.
Yeah, that shit's fresh.
Yeah, you know, so, but it was cool because, I mean, it told a lot of stories of people, you know, of people that may not have, you know, been able to tell their stories. So, but yeah, now I'm on to the highly recommended Bret Hart's last autobiography. Really enjoying that. But yeah, after that, Killing Joke. So the graphic novels are going to start... flowing through the to-be-read
spreadsheet. So, I got to ask if we want to do this on air. I never texted you my answer if I was a Brett or a Sean guy.
You didn't. That's right. I was going to ask you that.
Do you want to know? Do we want to put this out on the internet for me to get us kicked off the Shining Wizards Network?
That's up to you, because depending on your answer, it just might propagate even worse. So I'm kind of rooting
for another. I'll say it. I would consider myself a Shawn Michaels guy.
Hey, lock it in.
Because when I started watching wrestling, Bret Hart was done already. So I knew of Bret Hart, and I saw him when like, he came back and he had like the feud with like Vince McMahon, but he was like old Bret Hart at that point. He's not like Bret Hart, whereas Shawn Michaels was still rock and rolling, gyrating around. Now, would I say I like Shawn Michaels as a performer? Yes. Do I like him as a person? Is he doing all right stuff with NXT? I couldn't tell you. I don't watch it.
Well, I have not watched either, but we've got some good news that we will be diving into here in this episode for sure that I am personally very excited about. But, yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's doing good things, but I haven't watched NXT in a while. I've watched a couple matches. I mean, anything with fucking Dragunov. I mean, Carmelo Hayes is a fucking stud. It's okay, Smith. It's okay, you know.
He's from my neck of the woods.
Carmelo Hayes?
Yes, sir. I saw him wrestle in a high school gym in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Oh. It's okay, Smokes. Here, I gotta move your... Sorry, she's the... Yeah, she's having issues today. It's okay, kiddo.
So, sorry, everyone. I think I'm the only person that Tom has asked and I've seen response to. I'm the only one who has said I would consider myself a Shawn Michaels guy.
No, that's actually a good answer, and we will talk in
post-production. And it's like we've brought up other things. Like it's an exposure thing, right? Like I didn't see Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels at the same time,
right?
I had Bret Hart's theme song on a WWF anthology, the music. And I thought the entrance theme was cool, especially with like the slide at the beginning. It's like, ooh, that rules. But I mean, to a young adolescent boy, Shawn Michaels was extremely entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue that whatsoever. So, and I'm actually texting you right now as we speak. So,
and it's more recent, and I haven't actually watched the match because I wasn't really watching WWE at the time. But the moment where in the Mania match between Shawn and Ric Flair, where he's like, "I'm sorry, I love you," and he like just cracks that old man dead center of the ring. It's like, it's perfect. So sorry, Tom. Matt might boot us from the Wizards Network now.
He might. So,
but at least we'll have a home on Visionaries Global Media, which is great because they picked us up first.
That's true. That is true. So, I can't remember which, because Chad and Diesel are. I know they're split. I'll have to double check with that. Maybe we can do a big thing. So,
because Diesel's a Brett guy, right?
I think so.
Because we talked about that when he was on, about me not liking Jay Lethal.
Yeah, and then Chad being the contrarian that Chad is, would definitely be a Shawn Michaels guy out of spite. So, but Chad always keeps it interesting for sure. So,
and but you know, I brought it up last week. I might be coming around to this heel Jay Lethal we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I got some questions on his couple appearances here this week, but he's not bad. I mean, he's definitely he's obviously we have the benefit of hindsight, but I mean, his role in the company is gonna ramp up here in the next couple of years.
Oh, roles in companies, you say?
Well done, Will. Well, and I didn't even.
That's me earning my keep.
That was fucking perfect. That was awesome. Well, since you did your part, I'll do mine. For our question of dishonor from the third member of this triumvirate, who I now have some good watch along ideas from while with Will's answer. The following wrestlers are coming back in 2024. You have a choice to put them in WWE, AEW, TNA, NWA, or New Japan. One guy per Fed, and Brundon's five guys that he chose were ACH, Tadarius Thomas, R.D. Evans, Jay Briscoe, and the Romantic Touch. And they did this as a bonus for the Wizards, which I didn't know.
And we'll stealing from himself. So I guess, you know, if you want to hear more about that, subscribe to the Wizards Patreon and go back through. Was it $3? $5.
Yeah, minimum is
$3. $3, you get all the bonus content.
Yeah.
You can go back and share. They did like crosswords. I want to go back and listen to some of the crosswords ones. Not going to lie. That's a big part of that is like the early days of the Patreon and like the access to stuff where you have to go through like the other sites and all the other, you have to log in and like, that was a lot of work to do on my shitty hardware.
Yeah. I'm just like, I just want to give you money. So, I mean, there's a couple podcasts. I'm not going to put them on blast. Hopefully one of which I'd like to get the runner of said podcast on a Chopping It Up episode. But yeah, listen, I had a couple that didn't put an episode out in like a year and a half. I just kept giving them money. I'm like, you know, I'll keep giving you money while I'm going through your back
catalog. I mean, that's really where I'm at with like my Patreon stuff is like, I don't really subscribe to anybody for the bonus content. I subscribe, like I like a lot of them, like First Issue Club. I like their Patreon bonus episodes that they do. Cause like sometimes it's just what they call like the spicier version. Like they talked about a convention they were at on their main episode. They're like, all right, and on the Patreon episode, we're going to talk shit. So if you want to hear us talk shit and use names, you have to sign up for the Patreon.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's like I want to throw a couple bucks at shows that I like, that like I spend time with. And it's like, you know, I'm getting something from this. And it's like you get one more click on Spotify or wherever I'm checking out the podcast on. But like, kick a couple bucks over, you know, it's like you're giving me you're providing me a service. I want to pay for that service.
Yeah. So listen, I mean, Nick, I will be joining the None of Our Friends Like Comics, My Friends Like Comics Patreon soon. Just got to figure out some things. So I am looking forward to that 5-part Watchmen series. So I'm really kind of intrigued by that. So
I've got a couple days off coming up. Finally. I might dig through his Patreon episodes, cause there's somewhere they do like whole movie, like commentary. So I might pull up a movie.
Nice.
And have Nick on in the background with whoever else is guesting.
Nice. So, but all right, well,
but back on the rails.
Oh yeah. Both of us are sitting there like, should we touch it? Should we touch it? And I'm like, eh.
Oh, I should always touch it.
You know, I mean, the romantic touch on NWA is kind of low hanging fruit. So I'm going to skip that.
I would say that, or I was thinking maybe a romantic touch in TNA.
Yeah.
And I was, so I guess, so if we're looking at Brundon's, do we want to run through Brundon's or do we just want to kind of reference it for each as we go down the list?
Let's reference it as we, yeah, let's do our own and then we'll do Brundon. I'm trying to forget what he said because my list is pretty similar, but.
That's what you guys said. I didn't really look at this because I didn't want to be thinking about Brundon's answers. I wanted to come into this kind of fresh. So I'll give you mine since you already have yours.
Kind of, yeah.
Set. So my WWE. My WWE, I might get some heat for this, is Jay Briscoe.
Okay.
I want Jay Briscoe to be on the biggest possible stage in front of the most people. And you can't tell me that Jay Briscoe would not be over with the WWE demographic. You can get all these people's little fucking squealing children in man up t-shirts.
Yeah. Or man down t-shirts, as Marie Bennett Canales likes.
Or man down.
That was pretty funny.
So, AEW, I think AEW, I'm going to go ACH.
Yeah, that's where I went too.
Most, and again, it's like, I know ACH did a lot of the PWG stuff. He's got rapport with a lot of the guys in the AEW locker room already. A lot of already established chemistry. Tadarius Thomas.
See, I'm going to go with Tadarius Thomas to Brendan picked WWE. And they're still character driven. And as far as good as he is in the ring, obviously he lacks a certain part. I would like to see Tadarius in TNA just for the simple fact I would like this in the X division would be awesome, obviously. But I mean, if you know, Tadarius versus Speedball, you know, injected into my veins, will.
You know, you could also get that if you sent Tadarius Thomas to New Japan Pro Wrestling, where you could put him in a group. And he wouldn't necessarily need to be the mic guy. He could get away with just being that MMA fight style. Or we could do the secret answer because Brendan didn't include it, but XPW.
Yeah, for sure. Well, he could also
the streak fight, continues.
You know, he could also, you know, Tadarius could fight, you know, Bailey in New Japan. But real quick, I am really enjoying the Best of Super Juniors. I know it's a lot to watch. So if anyone wants any of, if you want to watch a couple matches, I got a couple I could definitely recommend. But
I've heard it's been really good. You're making it sound really good. Ninja I have not re-upped my New Japan to watch it, but everything I've seen from it has been real good stuff.
Yeah, Ninja Mac is definitely the Teton of this year's tournament. So, but yeah, definitely go out of your way to watch Robbie Eagles versus Hiromu for sure. Okay, sorry, Will. Artie Evans, where the fuck do you put Artie Evans?
I was going to put Artie Evans in NWA.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too.
Mostly because it would be either be TNA or NWA, and I would rather see the Romantic Touch. Again, because they both would work in both. I feel like, though, with the Romantic Touch and the fact that TNA is such a strong women's roster and they do intergender stuff,
yeah,
that you could have some chicanery. It is tough, though, because the gimmick does feel a little more on the NWA side. Whereas in TNA, right, you could keep the new streak going.
Yeah.
Artie Evans and Joe Hendry, like, let's oh. bring that train to the station. So, actually, I think I just blew a hole in my own statement. So, I think I've got to go Artie Evans to TNA.
Yeah. I think we all, we all agreed on that.
That means I'm sending Rhett Titus to the NWA. Man, I mean, the Romantic Touch to the NWA.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, someone related was also initials RTs in NWA. So, I mean, listen, your same theory, too. I mean, it may not be the knockouts division, but the Romantic Touch, I mean, he's not going to get away with that shit in WWE. And AEW doesn't book women for shit. So, I mean,
there's
a solid women's division. You know,
kind there's of women on AEW?
That's what I heard. I saw something on Twitter the other day that a woman was on there. But, yeah. So, yeah. And then I just, I wanted to be kind of smarky and it'd be funny to put ACH back in WWE. But,
I thought about that, but I would have the caveat I would want it to be early 2000s WWE, so there's a cruiserweight title for him to fight for.
Okay. Yeah, like he would have been perfect in the Cruiserweight Classic. I don't know. I switched, like I said. I don't know. I think ACH in AEW, you set him up with the right faction. You know, could be a lot of fun. I'm trying to think who. I mean, I don't know much about AEW right now. You know, however, ACH and TNA would be a lot of fun. You mentioned fucking ACH and Gresham going at it.
Did you see Gresham's tweet responding to the clip of Jordan Grace showing up in NXT?
No.
Said, hey, you said you were just running out to get groceries.
Well done, Gresham. Well done. And I like your argument for Jay Briscoe going to WWE, obviously, for, you know, to get the paycheck, you know, get the exposure. But selfishly, I would just really like to see him in New Japan with a singles run. Would be a lot of fun. Like Jay and Shingo. Jay and Ishii.
Jay was. Well, especially now, right? I mean, I feel like there's a spot there for a major single star.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Did I put anyone in WWE? Yeah, man, I guess by default to Darius Thomas and WWE, I guess. You Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he'd be main roster material, but I mean, definitely could thrive in NXT, I'm sure. So, but I mean, I won't put Brundon's personal business out there, but you know, Brundon, best of luck with everything, my friend. So, and shout out to you, and appreciate all your time and support and everything as pretty much the third member of this podcast. Mm-hmm. But Will, it's time for the main event. Before we get to that, though, I just obviously want to shout out everyone over at Visionaries Global Media. One of these days, maybe I'll actually get a commercial, but things keep changing. So, but obviously keep up, you know, pretty much the steady ship of Band from Ringside with JCB, Bill, and Zach, you know, pretty much every Friday, you know, like clockwork, you know, they're in there. And then we got Matt and Graham and Nishkai, and then a combination of those guys over at Good Cop, Bad Cop. Freed's just dropped an episode on Planet of the Apes. I'm actually looking forward to listening to. Yours truly here's got the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup and obviously Ring of Honor Revelry, which usually drops every Saturday, and Midwestern Wrestling Roundup got some extra, a lot of shit coming down the road for Midwestern Wrestling Roundup, so stay tuned to that. Especially if you are listening in the Midwest, a lot of hot action going on here. But other than that, Will, we've got the Shining Wizards Network, but we'll talk to everyone on the other side of the break.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday nights on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is radioactive metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, High Fivers, we're back. And before we dive into Ring of Honor TV, I do want to mention our not sponsor, but I did go out and buy myself 8 cases of Liquid Death, and I do have the Melt Water here, the unflavored one. So I thought I'd give this a shot. So a little, I don't want to say healthier for me, but a little different. So Liquid Death. So if you ever want to advertise with Ring of Honor, River, you're open. But Will, because we did not cover it at TV last week, because we had an amazing guest and a shit ton to talk about with War of the Worlds, we actually have 2 episodes of Ring of Honor TV. Episode 140 and 141, and rather fortuitous, Will, with 140. We're still in Baltimore, but who was the opening match of the first week of TV?
I mean, they didn't call him All Ego, but his ego was brought up on commentary. We got a young fellow by the name of Ethan Page. Sick entrance song, too.
Yeah. And as mentioned in pre-production, rather serendipitously, as one of the bigger shocks in wrestling I can remember in rather recent history, Ethan Page showed up on NXT. He is tailor-made for NXT. I think he's tailor-made for the main roster if they can fit him in there. But I think he could have a long career, maybe not in ring, but I think his mind for the business it's a great pickup. So hopefully he's got a long standing career with W. I mean, it sucks that we won't be able to see him on the independents anymore, probably, but he faced Walkie's own Silas Young. And
Silas Young having the worst week ever.
What, his dog died in his car? He got into a car accident or something?
His bird. It was a bird.
Bird.
His bird named the Crusher.
why wouldn't he be so? Silas just definitely angry, for sure. I don't know, Will, did you by chance notice the kid in the alleyway? It's actually in the thumbnail for the episode wearing the Suicidal Tendencies hat.
I did not notice.
Yeah, so if you look at the thumbnail, he's right behind Silas' shoulder. He's got the old school Suicidal flip hat. So I've got mine. I don't know where mine is. Mine's in storage somewhere. I should really bust it out one of these days. Great match. 2 great hands. Silas wins with, and Josh is going to kill me. I don't have my cell phone for me because he did tell me the name of the move, but it's it's fuck your back, fuck your front thing.
The backbreaker into the lariat.
Yeah.
He misses with Misery. And Paige was getting a little bit of momentum built up. But, Silas, one of those guys where he doesn't necessarily put you away with the same move every time.
Yeah. Fucking killed him. Obviously not a debut. But hopefully we do see more of Ethan Page. He was on Future of Honor. Him and his old partner Josh Alexander were on an episode a couple months ago. A lot of fun, And Silas gets on the mic and he's just angry. He's upset that he's got to wrestle this fucking bum.
He feels like he's not being given matches that are at the level he feels he should be at. He's getting Adam Pages. He's getting Ethan Pages.
Where's Brian Cage when we need him?
Brian Cage in 2014? Was he even wrestling?
Yeah, he was Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground's from 2014. Oh, my back.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Lucha Underground was so good.
It was. Man, stay tuned for some future Lucha Underground content by yours truly. Yeah, I want to say it debuted September 2014, I believe. I could be wrong about this. Because I was, I remember the winter, it was there 2015 for sure, but I think it was season two. Because I was caretaking in a place that had cable. And I just see all these ads, but I can never, I'm like, what is this fucking Lucha Underground here? What the fuck? I'm like, what the fuck is LRA?
The LRA channel was cool. They played a lot of movies and shit. Like, that was a dope channel. Yeah, Silas wins. He's on the mic. He's not happy with his opponents, and he says if he's not going to be given the opportunities he feels he deserves, he's going to start taking them.
Yeah, and we obviously, if this is your first episode of Ring of Honor Revelry, go back to last week's episode because Silas did jump, you know, Kevin Owens, or I'm sorry, Kevin Steen. You know, and he made his intentions known. So Silas is not fucking around. So, and I really like that in commentary. They're just really leaning into Silas being a crotchety old get off my lawn. But yeah, by the way, Will, Lucha Underground debuted October 29th, 2014. I was 9 days into a very drug-fueled trip down to South America at that point. So I would have missed that debut. So, yeah. Interesting. So, good match. Like I said, I mean, good opener. Two great, you know, two great hands and everything. So, but this was an interesting matchup, I thought. Obviously, we've got Tadarius Thomas versus Caprice Coleman. And, I mean, I try to keep my political or lack thereof views and religious views and stuff like that. But, to, you know, Caprice comes down here, cuts a Jesus promo. But Will, for some odd reason, when Caprice does it, it doesn't bother me.
I mean, context is everything, right? So they're pitching that Tadarius, you know, recently under Jimmy Jacobs' wing. Because I had my issue, I had an issue with Caprice's promo, but it wasn't the Jesus part. I expected that, right? Because they talk about how he's a minister all the time. He does the blessed TO. Like it's integrated into him as a wrestler.
His Trinity, his Holy Trinity, the three suplex thing, which he hit in his match. But,
which he did. You know, I thought that was a Jackson brother move, but here we are seeing Caprice Coleman busting it out. Telling Tadarius, like, you know, you're going to meet a lot of people who don't have your best interest at heart, and you're not going to realize it until it's too late. And then he brings up Jesus. But my issue with the promo was when he started like trying to like trash talk after, when he's like, he ain't got his wits no more. Roderick ain't strong. I mean, the Marilyn Manson, the child being of Marilyn Manson and Prince, like it just didn't feel like it fit. Like I feel like if it just ended with like the hey, you know, like there's better people for you to look to, because he's not even saying me. He's not like saying you should listen to me. You should be like my new Cedric. You should,
yeah,
come be my teammate. He's just saying, hey, there's probably better people you could be aligning yourself with, both of you.
Yeah. Hanging out, I mean, you could hang out with Jesus.
And Jimmy Jacobs doesn't like that.
No. But
Kevin Kelly points out when he comes out, Adam Page doesn't even get mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, the decade. But I mean, super solid match, a little short, obviously, but it's TV. But yeah, I mean, Caprice does hit that Holy Trinity suplex thing, or whatever, and he hits the leg drop off top rope. You know, gets the win. You know, and they're, you know, Kevin Kelly and Carino are just kind of saying, hey, you know, if Caprice, you know, beats Tadarius, maybe he'll follow that way. you know. But
after, maybe it'll open his eyes up to it a bit. Maybe he'll be like, "Oh, if I want to win, maybe I need to change my ways."
Yeah, and then Jimmy kind of pretty much just shoves Tadarius Thomas's face into the mat with his foot.
It grinds it into the mat.
Yeah, that was interesting. But Will, after that, we're promised a promo from Jay Lethal and Truth Martini, and your favorite Jay Lethal. Even though I know you said you're coming around on Jay Lethal a little bit, and I think we're really gonna have a good run here with Lethal. But you know, he's blaming everybody for turning on him, not the other way around. He's got open blah 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 or issues blah blah blah. But then he issues an open challenge, Will.
Tom, you skipped over a little tidbit, a little moose-boosh from the last segment.
Oh.
Jimmy Jacobs forces Adam Page to get down, and he kicks Adam Page again, even though he wasn't even in the match, to lose.
See, that's what happens when you're watching Ring of Honor TV while you're working. You miss these little tidbits. That's right, I forgot.
Well, no, I watched it twice, so I mean... Because yeah. As noted, not note taker, I got to keep the shit fresh.
Yeah, and I had taken notes and I deleted them and I had them last week, so I had to rewatch it. So which turned out?
See, that's the spirit. Delete the notes. You don't need them.
Yeah, but Will, let's Jay Lethal and Truth Martini say a bunch of words. What is?
Yep, they yell that Jay Lethal sold out. He's like. He's like, you're right, you're asking why, but the question is, you're asking it in the wrong direction, you're asking the wrong person why. And he tells the fans to shut the hell up. He's like, you guys can't cheer me now, because you're going to go home and say that I'm the worst wrestler and that I don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
Also, I just want to emphasize that they do the House of Truth stinger, but then it's his Blue Smock Nancy song.
Yeah.
So it has a more serious vibe. It's not the hoopla. It's not. It's like, all right. I mean, granted, it's the House of Truth, and it's a house of two people. But I mean, it's
for now. Yeah. Yeah, but listen,
you think the Guardians of Truth come back? Do we bring the Headbangers back?
I mean, they were over. I mean, I'm surprised they disappeared so quickly. But yeah, listen. I mean, that's a good point. Listen, Truth is very down to business with Lethal. You know, they're all about the gold, so but
no, I mean, no goofy. That's the other thing, right? He says, I came, oh, am I mixing up? No, this would have been from this week. He's talking about how he came in and he was supposed to find the new talent and bring them to gold. He did that, and he's like, and then I got my own eyes opened that I found a champion who just didn't have a title.
Yeah, I mean, they do run this promo on both episodes of TV, so. Did the little replay and everything, but he issues an open challenge, Will, and who answers this open challenge?
Who else but Cheeseburger? They don't even finish issuing the challenge, and he is there. That's grabbing the brass ring.
Yeah. and obviously there are a lot of highlights in this podcast and this timeline of Ring of Honor that we're watching and everything. But one of the cool things really that I really enjoyed that we got to see literally from the beginning was Cheeseburger.
I love Cheeseburger.
I he had a really cool like Cheeseburger Showcase shirt I saw online, and then I didn't get it, and I can't find it again.
I will go on record as saying I was a day one Cheeseburger fan. First time I saw Cheeseburger, I was sold.
I was not.
Because when I saw him, he had already been wrestling for a bit. Like, he was already, like, in the Brutal Burgers and whatever else. So, I was like, I'm into this Cheeseburger. And he's so small.
Now we know how it happened.
Now we know.
But, I mean, Will, I mean, all bullshit. I mean, honestly, I thought with, like, well, I mean, as for his main matches, you know, we had the big main event coming up. I thought this could be kind of a squash match, but goddamn, Burger looked good. I mean, he even kicked out of the fucking Hail to the King.
You know? He did, and they almost I don't want to say they put him over at the start of the match, but they're like, you know what, cheating. It's like, you know, good on you. You ran out here. You said I want it. But you know, they're like, you got no chance. But the kicking out of the Hail of the King.
You know, and you know, his tag team partner and my new friend on Facebook, who's actually a surprisingly really good follow on Facebook, surprisingly, Brutal Bob.
Brutal Bob, Massachusetts own.
He just popped up on people you may know, so I'm like, fuck it, I'm just gonna, you know, so. And a really good follow. I mean, all bullshit aside, he's totally like, I'm like, oh, Bob's a really nice human being. Definitely like that Mike Bennett kind of vibe. But yeah, I mean, like you said, Willis, and he issued a challenge, and before he turned around, I mean, Cheeseburger was in the fucking ring.
Right, no entrance, nothing. Like he didn't get a music cue, nothing. He is just in the ring. He wants his title shot. He is a go-getter. Cheeseburger has been a consistent go-getter.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Yeah, so good on him. You know, competitive. You know, in the end, obviously, you know, Jay Lethal hits the lethal injection, but, you know, breathes a sigh of relief, you know, and it's over. But it's not – Jay Lethal's night is not over, Will.
Right, that sigh of relief. He doesn't get to be relieved long.
No. Because Derry, New Hampshire's second favorite son, Matt Taven, shows up.
I feel like he would have to be the first here because he's actually from around here. I moved here.
Yeah, well, what that's semantics. I mean, you're there voluntarily. He was born there. He's forced to be there, Will.
I know he wrestles out of Boston, Massachusetts. I guess it's better than Hollywood, Florida, or wherever he was supposed to be from.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Derry, New Hampshire. I enjoyed it. Then I will come back. Not sure in the relatively near future. We will be back, Will. But, yeah, Matt Taven comes out. He wants his pound of flesh. So they fight, and then Ciampa comes out. And there's just a lot of chicanery and bullshit. And basically they announce.
Brawling. Everybody's fighting everybody.
Yeah, they announce next week for the title, there's going to be a three-way dance for that Ring of Honor TV title.
Yeah, much against Truth Martini's wishes. Jay Lethal says, you know, I've had it. You want a shot? Guess what? We're going to settle this next week. Triple threat. And yeah. Truth Martini's like, no. But we'll get there.
Yeah. So, and then our main event in a Charm City street fight. And it was so named because there was a Baltimore Orioles Seattle Mariners fight a couple years ago. Some weird kind of anecdote. I thought that was kind of funny, but you know, the two enemies coming together to fight a better enemy. We've got Kevin Steen and Cliff Compton versus Outlaw Inc.
Yeah, Outlaw Inc. comes out, and then Steen comes out, but there's no Cliff Compton.
Yeah, who does come out through the crowd. And
Carino says we don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. I do love when Carino like half acknowledges Scum. Carino did have that funny bit earlier when Caprice was comparing himself to or was talking about Jesus rising from the dead. And he's like, and what did Kevin Kelly say? He's like, oh, Carino, you probably thought he was talking about you coming back after 3 days. Like, no, he's like, no, it took me 6 months. I just needed a better
6 months, and I had a good lawyer.
You know, so I do, like I said, this, as much as I hate Scum, but Steve Carino's, like, reaction to it, like, times he just completely denies it never happened.
He's got that post-Scum clarity, you know?
Yeah, it's great. But I don't know. I mean, this match, you know, I'm kind of with you, Will. Outlaw Inc., I love Homicide. I love Kingston. I love Steen. Cliff Compton has grown on me at this point. But this was just, you know, it was what it was. A 10-minute, you know, hitting each other with chairs. I didn't like that Steen grabbed a backpack out of the audience and hit somebody with a backpack. You know, but this feud's just so – because, you know, Kingston and Homicide aren't there all the time, so this feud's kind of like near. You know.
Well, this story disappeared from TV for however long, too.
Yeah. But in the end, our boy, Kevin Steen hits the F-sync on Eddie Kingston. And
yeah, they called it an F5.
Oh, did they? I missed.
Kevin Kelly called it an F5, pointing out that Kingston had a shoulder probably out of socket, and that he came down right on that shoulder.
Ouch. But yeah, and then afterwards, you know, there's a little hullabaloo, but you know, Clip Compton unites Kevin Steen, his handshake, and runs back into the crowd, and Outlaw Inc. follows Compton into the crowd. So,
yeah, they point out, you know, Outlaw Inc., you know, after Compton leaves, has an opportunity to have a 2-on-1 just beat down on Steen if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But they go away, and hopefully Outlaw Inc. stays away.
Yeah. But all in all, I mean, we'll kind of combine the two at the end, but not a bad episode of TV. You know, it's just, once again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, that just the timing of these things, you know, because War of the Worlds happened to, you know, like a month after this, you know, was filmed and stuff like that. So, but all in all, I don't know, for some odd reason, listen, maybe I'm just reading too much into it, you know, the Jimmy Jacobs, you know, having Tadarius Thomas under his foot, just the look, you know what I'm saying? Just doesn't look right, but it is what it is. But Will, we're still in Baltimore for episode 141 of Ring of Honor Television. And that guy with the suicidal tendencies, flip hat, still in the crowd, and that fucking Jamoke I don't like, still in the fucking crowd. There's a lot of Briscoes in the crowd, too.
Yes.
I'm assuming that kid that was yelling at Roddy was probably a Briscoe.
Probably.
I couldn't tell. He looked like he had his teeth, though. But he definitely had a Briscoe bandana on. But, Will, I'm going to spoil this right off the bat. But I'm definitely going to say, at least TV-wise, for sure, a match of the year contender to open this show, as we've got ACH, who's recently split from Tadarius Thomas. You know, TD's obviously in the decade now, versus Roddy Strong. Will, this match fucking rule.
TD and Adam Page at ringside for this.
Yeah. And, you know, I love how ACH is just being a smarky asshole, going out in the crowd and shaking hands and high-fiving everybody because the decade won't shake his hand. He's like, oh, you're I love that. But, man, I don't have many notes for this match, Will, because
there was a lot of interesting offensive choices made by both men. Obviously, ACH has some moves that are a little more, but like Roger Strong, like he makes the move where you think he's going to crotch him on the corner, but he like jams his ribs into the corner post. And then there's the bit where the kid, he's jaw jacking with the kid. ACH is crawling up on the barricade and he shoulder tackles his lower back. And so like he tackles his back and pushes him, his front, into the barricade. I mean, let's not, you know, the end of the match, the sick kick. The sick kick into the backbreaker where he gets the whip, so he actually, like, he lets go.
Yeah.
But also, when he goes for the underhook other move, and he flips him up, and ACH reverses that into the head scissor, like, that was really crisp, too, with that closing match lumbar check where Roddy lifts him, hoists him up, let's go. ACH rotates in the air, comes down on the knees.
So good. I don't know, Will. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I mean, this is definitely a match of the year contender for me.
This was a really good one. I like that there really wasn't any outside interference either from the kids.
Yeah, they just let these two go. I mean, you know, I don't know.
This is why ACH is Steve Corino's third favorite Hardy.
Third or fourth, something like that. So, but dude, I mean, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but Roddy is, he really is Mr. Ring of Honor. I mean, this guy just has fucking match after match after match. You know, he's kind of stuck in neutral with his decade bit, but I mean, he's just fucking bringing it.
So, if we to take a moment and we're looking at contemporary wrestling, Roddy recently dropped the international title.
Yeah.
Is this a bad sign? Do you think Roddy kind of tumbles down and gets lost in kind of like the middling, lower mid card that AEW has just kind of got like festering?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he lost to Will Ospreay. I mean, the best wrestler in the world. I don't know much about AEW anymore. I mean, Roddy is, I mean, he's obviously in fucking phenomenal shape, but he's not brand new anymore. Probably, you know, I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in AEW anymore, so I mean, I'm going to say probably, but hopefully not. You know, hopefully him and Kyle can figure something out to do. I don't know. You know. So is it like him and Kyle versus like they're not all together. Like Adam Cole's kind of split between the Kingdom and Fish and O'Reilly.
Yeah, I don't think Kyle O'Reilly's in the group.
Okay, yeah. So
I don't think Kyle O'Reilly's been back on since that one match.
I thought I saw something, but then again, it was Twitter, so it might have been like a year and a half ago because Bobby Fish was on there. So, we'll see. Time will tell. For sure. I mean, I don't have a lot of faith, but I mean, I'm just glad at this point in his career, he's getting paid. I wish he would have gotten the NXT Championship. You know, that would have been a nice flower in his hat. But he's done everything else. Literally everything else. You know, I mean, a fucking Swerve and Roddy program would be a lot of fun. It sounds like Swerve's championship run is less than stellar. I mean, surprise, surprise. I mean, Tony Khan can't book champions for shit, especially the babyface.
I mean, that's why I gave up on AEW.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It bums me out because it used to be appointment viewing for me. But now I really don't care.
Yeah, now you're recording.
I mean, I was that way about the WWE for a stretch of time too. So you know, shit could change later. But for right now, so there's nothing there for me.
Yeah. So, but great. Yeah, go out of your way, high fivers, to watch this match. Well, fucking worth it. You know, some good storytelling. Will knows the moves better than I did. But dude, yeah, this is in 15 minutes they got Will. You know, and there was that one spot where they were going to go to commercial, but they were pulling off a big spot, and Kevin Kelly's like, let's not go to commercial yet. I thought that was well done. You know, so can't talk about this match enough. But we talked a little bit earlier. Obviously, we recapped this whole Letha Ciampa-Taven thing. They kind of replayed everything that they did last week. I don't know, Will. Is it just me, or is it weird? I mean, I get it, you know, but Jay Lethal coming out in the same tights two episodes in a row?
I mean, those are his tights.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I know you're at the same taping, and all this match probably happened a half an hour after.
Well, and then and he matched his Truth Martini.
I mean, couldn't you bring out some different tights for, you know, but, I mean, TV, play some TVs. Just wonky in general, but you know, but listen, once again, Taven, Lethal, and Ciampa, they just fight and they fight and they fight. And Lethal low blows Ciampa with a chair
because Lethal jumps Ciampa on the entrance ramp.
Okay,
so Taven gets his entrance, Ciampa's coming down to the ring, Lethal jumps him, and then the brawling in the entranceway just ensues. It's just bodies everywhere.
Did the bodies hit the floor, Will?
Ciampa's did, and then a steel chair hit Ciampa's knee.
Yeah. So, hopefully that's not the end of Ciampa's run here. And, I mean, you know, because the Cruiserweight Classic's coming up. So, I mean, it's got like 2 years yet, so. Yeah, and then they ring the bell, and it's just basically just Taven and Lethal, because Ciampa's been kind of neutralized at this point. And then Truth Martini whacks fucking Taven with the Book of Truth. And they call for the bell. But I thought in Triple Threat, there was no disqualification.
Yeah, Taven's laid out in the ring. Lethal still has his belt. Ciampa's done. A little bit of fuckery here.
Right. Is it necessarily a disqualification, or is it the referee just throwing the match out? Is it, all right, this is obviously devolved into there's no match. Like, was it just called? Was it like kind of the referee's discretion where it's like, all right, this is just kind of like there's no contest here. Maybe it was that way.
Okay, I could buy that. I'm picking up down well.
Unless they're factoring in that Ciampa wouldn't be able to be part of the match and it was treated as like a singles match. But I took it more as the way they just threw the match out where like, all right, like he got the one guy out, hit him in the knee so he can't be a part of it. Now they're just going to hit the other guy. It's like, all right, there's no match here. Like there was no intention of having a match.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, that's a good call. You know, but
I wasn't mad about it, but boy, did he fucking hit Matt Taven in the head with that fucking book.
Well,
clonked him.
That Book of Truth's fucking deadly, man. I mean,
only one person is kicked out from the Book of Truth, right? So, yeah. I'm really curious as to what the book actually is. Like, is it just like an Encyclopedia Britannica? Would they put like a dust jacket on?
Probably.
I want to know. That's what I really want to know. I don't want to know a lot about Truth Martini.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can do some digging, see if we can find out. So let's talk to a couple of our sources here and whatnot. So, but then, Will, we go to our main event. Obviously, something that's been brewing for a while. You know, we have Jay Briscoe versus Mike Bennett. And maybe I just missed it, but Maria has been calling them the Kingdom for a while, right?
So it hasn't been like a set thing, but they're gradually calling them the Kingdom. It's been brought up a couple times. And I think this is the first time Maria's like, yeah, this is the Kingdom.
And she compares, I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of Holy Spirits and...
They got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They got Adam Cole, Matt Hardy, and Mike Bennett.
You know, super solid match. Obviously, you've got two fucking studs, you know, just beating the living piss out of each other. Lots of, you know, fucking barricade shots. You know, I did have to chuckle. I mean, it seemed like Kevin Kelly got a little irritated with a quote-unquote blasphemy. I don't know if you caught that or not. Thought that was kind of funny, you know, but it is what it is. So,
a big part of that too is like Carino does the same thing, right? And he's done like with Matt Hardy and Adam Cole, and it's, you know, they're the saviors of pro wrestling. They're the whole. So maybe he's just fed up of hearing about Matt Hardy.
Could be, yeah.
Matt Hardy, who we haven't seen. Really, since he was given that iconic title.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Right, what a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, but in the end, you know, Jay hits the J-Driller, you know, and he hits that thing. It's so well done. I wish they'd shoot the cameras a little different. So you can't tell how well, you know, the guys are protected when he does that move, but it's a thing of fucking beauty, my friend. Yeah, and obviously, you know, Jay Briscoe gets on the fucking, on the mic, and he is not happy with Adam Cole. He says all kinds of naughty words to Adam Cole and everything, so, yeah, so when are Jay and Adam Cole's paths gonna cross once again?
Maybe a best in the world.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, it's Elgin and Cole at Best in the World, so.
Oh, that's right. He's got a title shot. Oh. I guess I know who doesn't win that match.
Yeah.
The dumbest man in Ring of Honor.
Oh, Will, you are not going to let that go. That's awesome. So, yeah. So, I mean,
I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I ragged on it so much last week.
It's kind of your gimmick, you know? Yeah, Will, so we had two super solid, you know, episodes of TV. Some stories kind of further, not as much I would necessarily would like for sure, but a lot of fun, a lot of good action in the ring. And like I said, Roddy ACH, I mean, seriously, high fivers. If you get anything out of this week's episode, go watch that fucking match. Yeah, but Will, do you have any additional thoughts or concerns or anything on Ring of Honor, and would have all this hot action made you tune in next week to Ring of Honor?
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
If you were to watch these two episodes, would you keep watching Ring of Honor?
I think these two episodes in a row felt like, because there's issues with Ring of Honor TV, like we talked about, like where storylines get dropped for a while and then they resurface back in. So this at least had stuff carry over from like the one episode to the next one. Even, you know, it was mostly the, I don't know, I mean, we had Decade stuff, we had the TV title stuff. I think there would have been enough there to keep me coming back.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff, you know, so hopefully we get to see, you know, it's, I just wish they could figure out the TV, you know, but I mean, I'm a little nervous we're going to get, you know, Road Rage for the next month up until Best in the World, but a lot of fun stuff, you know, we'll see if Adam, you know, Jay Briscoe gets his hands on Adam Cole anytime soon, so. I mean, he did lose the match fair and square, so he should really technically go back down to the bottom, but I'm never going to tell Dave Briscoe that to his face, so. Wow, that was a really bad joke. You know what I mean, bro. You're picking up or putting down.
That's what I do.
So, yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I definitely kind of would have, I definitely would be intrigued for sure, so. Good times had by all, but Will, before we pull this train here into the proverbial station, anything else you'd like to put over? Anything you're reading or anything? Or
usual stuff. Run through it again. Shining Wizards Podcast, Shining Wizards Network, Visionaries Global Media, Faith and Brittany, Cats,
Mabel Blanche, Chico and Smokeless.
Thanks again to Rob for guesting and sitting in with us last week. Yep. So if this is your first episode, go back and listen to us and Bullet Club Rob talk War of the Worlds.
Dude,
check out his Jumping Bomb Angels stuff that he's working on.
That shirt's really sick, by the way.
It is. And, he was brought up earlier in the episode. You can go back in the archives. We did an episode with Nick a while ago from None of My Friends Like Comics. Working Stiff was brought up. We have an episode with the editor of that, Josh Olson, who writes for Slam Wrestling as well as doing his own stuff. And go back and do what we do, watch alongs. Watch some Roddy Strong, Brian Danielson. We watched three of them.
Yeah. Epic with Big Dick Brett. So we got some, bonus watch along material kind of coming up in the hopper here. So, and one more developed in this very podcast. So, and I'd be remiss, like I say, if you listen to the intro, obviously that is a little shout out from Jimmy Jacobs, from our good friend SJ. SJ, thanks again for the autograph picture. I probably should have told you this story. I meant to, but I got the mail on Saturday. And I was walking all that liquid death up the stairs to make a couple trips. And the post office man came into our house like, are you HiFiTom.com? I'm like, I sure am. And then he gave me the thing. So that was kind of funny how the picture was delivered. So thanks again, SJ.
Are you highfivetom.com?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's part, you know. I do need to get that website back up and running one of these days, so.
It's on the list.
Yeah. If you haven't seen High Five Tom, High Five's the World video, I definitely recommend that. So, that was a good time. That was a good old day, so. But, Will, obviously, shout out to you. Thank you. Yeah, another great episode. Listen, we've got a, we're closing on 2.5 years, my friend, so this is a decent little run we're on here.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, but I think got a lot of fun stuff coming up. We do have a lot of events, so it's going to be interesting leading up to Best in the World. So, but Will, I think you can pull a train in the station, my friend. But I will talk to you next week at the very latest.
Yes, sir.
All right, Will, later.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.